Winter is coming, but not in a good way. Consumers spend big, but is it just a sign of inflation? And speaking of consumers, will they keep spending, or is the Treasury's liquidity drain going to put an end to the demand? All that and more on today's show. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today, where we talk not just about the news, but how the news impacts you. And start out, we've got a big increase in winter bills coming, and most Americans aren't ready for that. Let's head over to the Wall Street Journal, because what I want to do is show you where this is going to go from a demand perspective. We're going to look at not just the impact on your budget, but how that translates into retail sales, inventory data, spending, consumer confidence, and so forth. So you can see and try to figure out, is this winter going to lead to a demand boom, as many are predicting, or a big contraction in spending as most consumers find themselves unable to afford these higher prices? Again, let's head over to the Wall Street Journal, where we're headlining with a winter of giant gas bills is coming. Are you ready? We're going to be ready or not. U.S. households are projected to spend more on heating than they have in several years. In fact, maybe more since the great financial crisis. We'll take a look at pricing here in a little bit. And Americans got a stark warning for the government this week. Expect higher heating bills this winter. And for that, let's head over to the Energy Information Administration, the EIA, and their recent report on winter fuels outlook. As they say, as we head into the winter of 2021 and 22, retail prices, that's what you and I pay for energy, are at or near multi-year highs in the United States. The high prices follow changes to energy supply and demand patterns in response to the pandemic. But here's the numbers. You can see we expect that nearly half of U.S. households that heat primarily with natural gas will spend 30% more. I mean, it's huge, 30% more than they spent last winter on average, 50% more if the winter is 10% colder than average. Let's hope that's not the case. And 22% more if it's just 10% warmer. So no matter what the outcome, the EIA is saying you're paying more. They also expect that 41% of households that heat primarily with electricity will spend 6% more. So maybe there's some good news. If you are heating with electricity, your bill may not be that bad. And how about the 5% of households that heat primarily with propane? Well, get ready. It's coming, 54% more, 94% more if it's a colder winter, 29% if it's warmer. And the last 4% of households that heat primarily with heating oil will spend a whopping 43% more. So you can start to see that the cost of winter is going to go up. But by how much? Well, let's continue, because this is where we're going to get into, can this demand persist with what's going on? And let's talk about natural gas prices for a moment here. You can see them rising. You know, the EIA says multi-year highs. I think they're being generous, because you have to go back to 2008 to find out when natural gas prices were this high, and they're probably likely to head higher. But let's head over to Zero Hedge, who references a report from the Epoch Times that actually put some numbers to this. So if you heat with natural gas, your bill is expected to go from 750 this winter to from 573. So you're looking at just under $200 more to heat. That's quite a bit. Now, somebody said that's not that much. Well, there's a lot of, I want you to think there are a lot of households that literally go paycheck to paycheck. And here we're at a time where prices are up. We're going to talk about that too. But I want you to understand this from a demand perspective. Where is the economy going when you see higher energy prices without a lot of fiscal stimulus left? So keep that in mind. Now let's continue here. And so we see natural gas prices are headed higher here. Heating oil, those people are going to spend on average about $500 more on winter, which is incredible, huge. How about those who are heating with electricity? Well, perhaps they're the ones that are the most fortunate. Their bills only likely go up a little over $50. So that's not too terribly bad. But the bottom line is everybody's bills for heating this winter are likely and expected to go higher. And what does that mean from a financial budget? Well, you have your discretionary and your non-discretionary. Well, the non-discretionary is energy costs. Your discretionary is everything else. And so that leads us into today's retail sales report, which was predicted to be pretty bad. But the question now I want you to be thinking as we go through this is, if costs are going up on non-discretionary, where do you think discretionary spending is going to go this winter? Well, let's start out with B of A, who's usually really good at forecasting where retail sales are going, and they predicted that it would drop by 0.6%. And boy, were they off, because what did we see? Retail sales month over month up 0.7%. And year over year slowed, so the pace of it's still growing, but the pace of the growth is slowing to 13.9% year over year. As you can see, those are big numbers. But one thing I want you to keep in mind is retail sales is reported as nominal. And you say, well, what is that? Well, when in doubt, always go and pull up a search engine, is what I like to do. And here you can see, what is the nominal amount in economics? Nominal values refer to the unadjusted rate or current price without taking inflation or other factors into account, as opposed to real values where adjustments are made for general price level changes over time. Now, if you happen to read my daily brief that I do a little market summary, you'll see that I notate where it says real, comma, or inflation adjusted. So when you see real in front of a data series, it's meaning it's inflation adjusted. So retail sales are not inflation adjusted, they're nominal. So what does all of that mean? Well, this boost in retail sales, is it due to demand? Well, actually about 60% of the increase has to deal with higher prices. So it's an inflation story. So consumers are spending more, but getting less. And that's a key, because you know, when you start and translate that into inventories, which we're gonna look at in a moment, well, things start to perhaps make a little bit of sense. And so let's dig into the retail sales report. And what do we find? Appliance spending went down 0.9%. Health and personal went down 1.4%. But where was the money going? Where were people spending more? Well, gas. They're spending more at the gas pump. And so we know that's an inflation story. We know, and this is in our sporting goods and hobbies. Now, the spending here is up. Now, why might that be? Well, school's back in session. And with that, you know, sports are back as well. Clothing, accessories were up 1.1. I took the Bond Queen, my wife, to get some clothes. She's a fourth grade teacher last month. And, you know, sure enough, the department stores were a bit busy. So clearly there was some spending there. You know, maybe it's back to school, maybe it's back to work. Combination of both are driving those numbers as well. So people are still spending, but when they go out and spend, they're spending more. And that's the key, is the cost of what they're spending is up, not how much they're getting for their dollar. And what's interesting, because you keep hearing about how there's a shortage on everything, that shelves are empty. Now, I'm not going to deny that there aren't empty shelves at stores. What I want to show you is that that's not the full picture, because business inventories are telling you something else. And so again, we're building this case of, we have the winter months coming, we have fiscal stimulus gone, and we have bills going up. Where is the economy going? Well, look at this. Business inventories measure the change in worth of unsold goods held by manufacturers, wholesalers, and retailers. A high reading can indicate a lack of consumer demand. So the expectation when you look at this is that this number should be going down, because we keep hearing that there's just a shortage, and all these ships. But yet on a month over month, we're seeing consistently rising inventories all the way since late last year. So this is very interesting, that there are inventories building up. They're just not building up perhaps in the things that some people want. They're building up in things that maybe people don't want as much. So was B of A totally wrong? Well, they were pretty far off, because we can go to the Fed's H.8, the weekly credit report. And here you see credit cards and other revolving plans. You can look at August, $766 billion, and by September it went to 770, so about a $4 billion increase. So according to B of A, they predicted wrong, but you know, they're only using their own data. But looking at other credit card data from the Fed, what do we see? That indeed it makes sense that spending was up on credit cards. And you know, why does that matter? Maybe it matters because people don't have the money today to pay for those goods, or they're hoping that by maybe getting a job, you know, they're going to go back to work and have the money. So there is an interesting view when you look at credit card spending. Some people view it as confidence in the economy. I swipe today because I'm confident in the months to come, or years, depending on, you know, how long it takes to pay off my bills, that I'm confident in my ability to repay it. There's another view, depending on where we are at in the economy, The people don't have the money, so they're forced to charge. The question is, where are we? The next question, though, is will consumers maintain this level of spending to keep driving the economy, even though their budgets are going to take a hit this winter? Well, let's take a look at one of my favorite things, the University of Michigan. If you said, what's one of your favorite data series I love to look at is University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment. And the Consumer Sentiment Index in blue takes a look at current conditions and expectations. And expectations are future conditions, so how you feel about the future. And here you can see that consumer sentiment is continuing to fall. Not much. This is preliminary data. It's, you know, dipping down a little bit, still above its pandemic lows, which is crazy. But look at now, or here's consumer sentiment in blue. Current conditions, not that great, still dipping lower. And then expectations, well, that's below or right about where it was at the pandemic. So consumers aren't confident. And what does it mean when consumers aren't confident? Well, it means they tend not to spend. Particularly, they're going to have less money to spend, somewhere between, you know, $50 to $200 this winter. Could be a big deal. And now we'll take a look at buying conditions. So we'll start with blue. Buying conditions for houses got slightly better. So maybe price of housing has slowed its growth a little bit. We see buying conditions for vehicles. Nope, that's going down. Now this view that the broad investment world and news world says this is because there isn't vehicles on the lot, that we do know this has to do with pricing. And then how about large durable goods? Well, you can look back to the pandemic when people thought it was a terrible time to buy, and now we're back near those levels, meaning people aren't going to spend. Well, that comes back to, where's that retail sales report? And here it is. What do we see? Appliance stores. Isn't that interesting? Motor vehicles, only up a little bit. So you're seeing that these surveys, well, they really do matter. How about inflation expectations? You know, when consumers see inflation coming, how do they interpret it? Well, if they believe the prices are going to continue rising, they will buy now because they obviously will want to save money. If they believe it's transitory or they can't afford them, they'll stop. And that's the big question, is where is this at? And you can see inflation expectations over the next year are, you know, near all-time highs, while inflation expectations over the next 5 to 10 years are starting to fade off. So consumers are telling you in this chart right here that they think inflation is transitory, because otherwise the blue line would be going higher. They're telling you very clearly it's transitory. But let's add to the spending story, as you see here from Oxford Economics and Heber Analytics, from a strong fiscal impulse, this was all those fiscal transfers, to a significant fiscal drag. And this is what happens when you take away all of those fiscal, direct-to-consumer fiscal stimulus packages. I think we're only left with one now, which is the child tax credit, which is elevated, and who knows what Congress will do with that before it fades back to normal levels. But here we're also facing this fiscal cliff. So where did the spending come from the retail sales? Well, it was before the fiscal stimulus ended. So the real question isn't what has the economy done when it's on the support of the government, it's what it will do without the support of the government and facing higher prices. And we're already seeing some signs of weakness. And for that, we'll head over to CNBC, where foreclosures are surging. Now, that's a bit of a headline now that COVID mortgage bailouts are ending, but they're still at low levels. So yes, they're going up from a low, low level. And so let's take a look at the data here, what they've got. So mortgage lenders begin to foreclose on 25,209 properties in the third quarter, a 32% increase from the second quarter on a year-over-year basis. Here's that surging number, 67% increase from the third quarter, according to the data. Well, now, while the increases are dramatic, I mean, whoever wrote this, I got to hire them to do some headlines, they're coming off extreme lows that were created by the Foreign Barons Program. So, you know, how does this impact people's budget? If you are foreclosing on a property, what does that mean you're not paying, right? You're not paying your mortgage. And what does that mean at some point in the future when you are forced to vacate that property? You're going to have to start paying rent or something to someone. Again, a hit to the pocketbook. But can consumers absorb that? Well, according to Bloomberg, Not really. Almost 20%. Get this. Households lost their entire savings during COVID. Can you imagine that? 20% of households wiped out of their savings. Almost a third of those making less than $50,000 a year had their entire financial cushion wiped out. So no, they can't afford all of these higher prices. They're not in a position to do anything but cut their spending. And you start to see some of this. And one thing I also like to watch is the weekly crude oil data, because we're seeing crude oil inventories build now. 6 million barrels from last week's up 2.34 million barrels. But what are we seeing? Distillate stocks virtually unchanged. These still, I mean, these numbers are below their averages. But the question I keep asking is, will consumers reject higher prices? And we see their spending, where is gasoline down here? Gas inventories were down almost 2 million barrels. So are people out driving, you know, because they're looking for work, or is this, you know, what's the story of why they're out, you know, spending money on gas? The question I'm going to ask is, with financial conditions tightening, with budgets shrinking, are they going to be able to afford to keep spending? And I think the answer is going to be no. But let's continue the story, because now we can look at producer prices. This is probably one of the big things. You know, when you talk about producer prices, this is prices coming out of the factory. And there's this huge view that the factory will pass the prices on and that you will just pay it. You are going to go and buy these goods at these higher prices. The question is that true? Well, the truth may surprise you. So producer prices up 0.5%. The core, excluding food and energy, was up marginally. But let's take a look at a chart. So we have producer prices in red on a year-over-year versus consumer prices. Now, if you go back to the 70s, what do you see? That, yes, that your producer prices rose and drove consumer prices up, and consumers had the money to afford them. And then you get into the second half of the 70s, and you see consumer prices just went out of control, almost driving producer prices higher. But then things started to change after that. And by the time you get into the 2000s, you see producer prices rising, and then consumer prices flatlining and heading lower. Because what are you starting to see here? Consumer producer prices rise, consumer price growth slow. Now, I'm using the term fall being the rate of change. But what you're seeing is consumers rejecting these higher prices and manufacturers or producers absorbing them. They're not able to pass them on. And you can see every time you get this big jump in producer prices, it's generally not met with an equivalent increase in consumer prices because they can't afford it. So the belief now is, look at producer prices, they're way up. And what's gonna happen is that's gonna drive consumer prices up, and that's gonna have all this inflation that the feds worry about. But in reality, what should we expect is consumer prices to flatline and actually head lower. And of course, the point of danger now is we're going to see a drain of liquidity by the Treasury. Possibly one of the worst possible times. Let's head over to Zero Hedge for this story. Reverse QE begins to drain $480 billion starting on Monday. So what's going on here? Well, the Treasury's drained their balance down. We'll take a look at that in a moment. And here we see that the Treasury is now set for a sharp liquidity drain as it seeks to build up some $480 billion in funding through early December. They're going to borrow as much as they can get away with before the debt ceiling a saga comes back, and I'm sure we'll be talking. I just have a hunch we'll be talking about that then. And here you can see the TGA, the Treasury General Account. This as of last week ending October 13th, from the prior week reported on the 13th. This will go down, and it's supposed to go up to $480 billion. So where is that? That is somewhere up in here, where my mouse is, kind of the middle between these two lines. So they're going to borrow money out of the economy, pull liquidity out. And what does that mean in terms of the dollar? Well, we tend to see the dollar start to strengthen. And why does that make sense? Why do you want you to understand that? Because when you pull dollars out of the system, it drains liquidity. So the dollars that are remaining in the system that everybody's trying to get, what does their value tend to do? Go higher. So here what does that then mean for consumer prices? Well, when the dollar starts to go up, my friends, consumer price inflation starts to flatten out and even go down. if the dollar goes up high enough. And here you can see, I forgot to turn off tooltips, but you see a dollar going up and consumer price inflation slowing and actually turning briefly negative. So what does this tell us? As the Treasury looks to drain liquidity out of the system, it suggests that the dollar's going higher and this inflation story is going to end. But consumers are going to be in big trouble this winter. And that's going to be the real story, is where will all the spending go? It seems likely it's going down, even as investors bet big on stocks. The question is, will they be right, or are they going to be caught on the wrong end? And with that, we'll see you on Sunday for the chart show. For those who watch that, we'll be back on Monday as usual. I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only, not intended to provide investment or other advice. Serials are not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by or selling security, financial instrument, or to participate in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that I do not reflect the view of Alice Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.